D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Connor Newt here with you today. Willie Donick and David James are out today, getting a head start on their Memorial Day weekend.
Exactly. So happy, Memorial Day weekend to everybody.
Right, happy Memorial Day weekend. Also, of course, we remember why we have Memorial Day weekend in the first place, which is to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice to our country. So keep that in mind as you're celebrating the symbolic start of summer.
You know, I was thinking about that and, you know, the sacrifice and everything else. Everything that comes along with joining the military, whether it be the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines, they all have a duty and a responsibility to take care of us. But it's, you know, they're taking it as an honor and rightfully so. So, but I was wondering, I was sitting back and wondering, like, okay, amongst the four branches of military, if you had to fly a plane, like one of the best planes in the world, or you could have one of the best submarines or battleships in the world, or if you were just had one of the best tanks in the world, or you had one of the best like rescue diving boats or machines, which one would you rather have if you were an individual?
I don't know. First of all, I don't want to forget about the Coast Guard.
Yeah, the Coast Guard.
So let's remember the Coast Guard too for all of you who have served in the Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I hadn't really thought about that. I'll have to think about it.
Our listeners, like, if you had an opportunity, I'm trying to say one division is better. I'm just saying, like, would you rather be the captain or whatnot of a battleship or submarine, or would you like to fly the plane, or would you just like to have that tank, that big massive just tank, or would you love to have one of those machines that where you just rescue people and it's just high tech? Which one would you like?
And while we're waiting for your responses at 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got a bone to pick with Derek Mason.
Oh, whoa.
So if you recall, Derek started yesterday's show by sharing with everybody how I like to park my car. I prefer to pull in versus back in. And Derek is very firmly on team back in.
Yes.
So I arrived to the station yesterday before Derek. So I didn't see Derek arrive at the station. So imagine my surprise when I leave the station yesterday afternoon, walk down the stairs, and see Derek Mason get into his vehicle, which he pulled in.
But no, you got to tell them why.
Why?
Why I pulled in. The spot that, and everybody in here knows about this spot, right near the stairs, that first parking spot that doesn't point directly toward the building, is on the side. So you can't really back in that spot because other people are parking like in front of you, and then because the turn is so tight. So that is the only spot over in that area. It's the only spot and area where I have to pull in.
Well, you should have thought about that.
Look at my car now.
Well, I'm on the air, so I can't do that right
yes,
now.
Yes, you can.
You should have thought about that before you came in here and put me on blast for pulling into parking spots.
But what did I say? I said 90% of the time, I park how? Backing in.
But today or yesterday was the 10% you decided not to, which was also the day you decided to bring it up. So that's all I'm saying. Imagine my surprise as I walked down the stairs and saw Derek Mason's car pulled in after he gave Willie and I guff.
You're right.
For pulling into our parking spots.
Maybe I should have had that discussion today instead of yesterday. You're right. You got me.
I'm just saying.
I know when I can take an L. I take an L and move on, you know.
Take this big fat L, Derek Mason. Devin and Dixon, answering your question, says he's taking an M1 Abrams tank all day long. It's like Derrick Henry practically indestructible. Kevin says, why back in when every car nowadays has a backup camera? Get real, D-Mace. That's Kevin in Florida. So I just had to air that grievance.
And you have every right to air your grievance.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yes. All right. So this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, we are going to be treated to an excellent rematch as Tennessee and Vanderbilt baseball will meet once again in the SEC tournament semifinals. Tennessee upset top-seeded Texas yesterday. Vanderbilt took care of business 6-1 against Oklahoma. So Vanderbilt against Tennessee tomorrow afternoon at noon Central, a game, of course, that you can hear right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And the last time we saw Vanderbilt and Tennessee face each other, about a couple of weeks ago, Vanderbilt won the series in Knoxville. And in the final game of the series, after the final out had been clinched, the teams had to be separated on the field after the benches cleared. So I can only imagine, I know that the stakes are higher in the SEC tournament. And Tennessee, big win yesterday against Texas. Helps them out tremendously in the NCAA tournament seeding process. But after some of the fireworks we saw a couple of weeks ago in Knoxville, I can only imagine how intense this game is going to be, Derek, as Tennessee and Vanderbilt baseball face off again tomorrow at noon in the SEC tournament semifinal.
Yeah, it seems to like this, and believe me, I don't, and this is where, you know, one where, you know, Willie can really get in depth with the rivalry. Because to me, I started noticing the rivalry, I think it may have been last year, the year before when UT, I mean, it may have been last year when UT just, they were just crushing everyone. And they were tops of the SEC. That's when I started to really get a grasp of that rivalry between those two baseball teams. And it got heated. And, you know, it was almost as if, you know, one team was taunted the other. And then you come into this season and you see what happens when Vandy goes off to Knoxville and they finally win a series in so many years. And then at the end of it all, you know, they have this back and forth. This rivalry is heated. I'm sure UT feel as if they have the upper hand over the last, you know, 2-3 seasons. And Vanderbilt isn't that, you know, dominant team that they once were, but they are a complete team. And I think this team isn't going to back down. So I'm going to enjoy seeing these games because, you know, we may get a couple of more sparks, this game like we got last.
The Vols have absolutely underachieved this season. But the last thing that Vanderbilt wants to do is to give Tennessee even more confidence heading into the NCAA tournament. So Vanderbilt, Tennessee.
Vandy's a fourth seed in the SEC tournament?
Vanderbilt is the fourth seed. Tennessee is the eighth seed. Okay. And Tennessee knocked off number one Texas yesterday, 7-5. So I thought we were going to see Vanderbilt and Texas tomorrow. That is not the case. Vanderbilt and Tennessee tomorrow at noon, a game you can hear on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And I was reminded of something else yesterday by Robbie Stanley. Robbie mentioned that yesterday was the 8-year anniversary of the Predators' series-clinching win against the Anaheim Ducks in the Western Conference Final as the Predators advanced to their first and only, so far, Stanley Cup Final. They win 6-3 against the Ducks. Colton Sissons had a hat trick. 8 years ago. That it feels like so much longer than that. But then, as I'm watching the first few games of the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, especially last night, as Florida just wipes the floor with Carolina, 5-0, I'm just like, speaking of years, the Predators just feel light years away from these teams that are still playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Who's going to beat them?
That's a good question. They are, as Willie was talking about yesterday with Elliot Freeman, we may look back on the Florida Panthers of this era and remember them as one of the great teams. And they, you know, they are 2 wins away from their, I guess that would be their third consecutive Stanley Cup final, if my math is right. they're an outstanding team. Mm-hmm. And Carolina is no pushover. Carolina is another outstanding team. But to watch the Panthers, it was immediate. They scored like a minute and a half into the game. And the Hurricanes never found their footing. It wasn't an entertaining game unless you are a Florida Panthers fan.
They just seem like a much bigger team, a more imposing team than Carolina.
Yes, they're a nasty team. They've got a lot of hard-nosed, in-your-face type of players, which I think a lot of teams would benefit from having. A lot of teams would be a lot of teams are surely jealous of the collection of talent that the Panthers have.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Sure.
And I'm sure you can really, you know, go in depth on this. In football, it's the same way, and I think basketball, I think every sport has their trend. And then after a while, you start to go against the trend. It just depends on, you know, how long that trend lasts. We see, you know, with the Connor McDavid's, those guys, you know, teams wanting to get faster and faster and faster. And that's how it is in a lot of sports. But then you have a team like the Florida Panthers that not only they are a bigger, more physical team, and they have been able to dominate over the last 3 years, really. Do you think teams, if Florida wins it this year, do you think teams will start to look at Florida and say, okay, let's construct our team. Yeah, you got to have the fast guys.
It's already
but
started.
Let's construct our teams like that.
That's already started.
Okay.
The NHL, like many sports, is a copycat league. Mm-hmm. And you see what the best teams are doing, what the championship teams are doing. And the Panthers went through a change in philosophy after Andrew Brunette was let go. Mm-hmm. Brunette filled in for Joel Quenneville after Joel Quenneville resigned. That Panthers team under Andrew Brunette was, if I'm remembering correctly, in terms of goals per game, they averaged more than 4 goals per game. And they were the highest scoring team of the salary cap era, which is since 2005. Mm-hmm. But they could not play that rush style of game in the playoffs. And I think a lot of people were surprised when the Panthers a few years ago, after the success that the team had with Brunette, decided to move off of Brunette and bring in Paul Maurice. And Maurice acknowledged that, hey, the way they were playing, they were scoring a lot of goals. Mm-hmm. But in the playoffs, those opportunities, they're not there. So we have to change the way we play. And instead of zooming up and down the ice carrying the puck, they're dumping it in. They're getting in on the forecheck. Mm-hmm. They're causing havoc below the goal line. They're creating turnovers. They're the best team in the league at scoring off of turnovers. Think about it like fast break points in the NBA. A player who can steal the ball and run the other way for a layup. That's what the Panthers do. They force their opponents into these situations where they're just surrounded. Mm-hmm. And the opponent has no choice, really, but to cough up the puck, and the Panthers are outstanding at turning those turnovers into quick strike goals. Mm. And that's and you saw it last night.
Yes.
You texted us, our little group chat, after the Panthers scored their first goal like a minute and a half in. That play is precisely what the Panthers do incredibly well. They force the Hurricanes into a turnover in the Hurricanes' defensive zone, and just like that, the Panthers score. That's what they do. And a lot of teams are going to replicate that. One texter says, if Preds fans aren't watching these playoffs, then they can't truly grasp how far behind the Preds are right now. Florida and Dallas especially. Nashville is years and years behind them.
That's the way it looks.
And
man.
I would agree with that. Like, do I think that the Predators are going to be as bad next season as they were this season? No, I don't. I do think that the Predators will be back in the mix for a playoff mm-hmm. spot. But they are nowhere near as talented as and cohesive as these teams that are still playing. So that's one of the things that I take away from watching these games, because I love hockey. I watch hockey. I watch as many games as I can, especially in the playoffs. And just watching these past few games since the conference final round started, I'm like, It looks like they're playing a different sport than the Predators.
Yeah, Adam's right. If you want to know how far, and it's just the Titans are in the same boat. If you want to know how far your team actually is, watch these playoffs. Watch this Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. This year, you will see how far behind your team truly is when it comes to. Now, listen, they're gonna, like Adam said, they're gonna be a better team next season, and they can get in the playoffs and they can go on a run. That can happen. But if you're just talking about looking at each team, man for man, in a style of play, turn on one tape, then turn on the other, the Nashville Predators are about a step and a half behind those teams. And unfortunately, in hockey, because you're drafting these young men at such an early age, and if you're not a Connor McDavid, one of these guys, you're going to have to sit and develop for 3-4 years, you know, on average probably, and then you can start reaping the rewards, hopefully, from that guy. So the texture is right. Yeah, you may be. It's no exaggeration when you say, man, they may be 3-4 years behind.
One texter says, my opinion for the Predators, if your defensemen aren't 6'3 or taller, sorry, you can't play for this team. I'm tired of the 5-foot nothings getting their butts kicked all year long. And one thing about the Panthers, they are a big team, especially on defense. Nico Mikkola is 6'6". Seth Jones, of course, 6'4". Aaron Ekblad, 6'4". And even players like Alexander Barkov, you know, he's 6'3", 200-plus pounds. Carter Verhaeghe, 6'2". Now they and even their players who are quote unquote smaller play big.
It's almost as if the Florida Panthers and maybe a couple other teams are sort of imploring or going the way of the NBA. Whereas, yeah, we got some big guys, but they're stretch guys. All of those guys, you know, my point guard can play center. My center can shoot from 3-point. And can handle the ball. My forwards can do all of that. In hockey, it seems like if I can get me a big guy that can skate well, that's the route we're going. And I know everybody wants that, but he doesn't necessarily have to be a speed guy. But if he is good, if he can skate really well, and he's a big guy, we're trending more toward that, a guy that can be multiple in what we want to do.
I mean, the Panthers' acquisition of Matthew Tkachuk, which happened the same summer that the Panthers made the coaching change from Brunette to Maurice, I mean, that also just changed the trajectory of that franchise because Matthew Tkachuk embodies the type of game that the Panthers want to play. And as I'm watching the Panthers and just they play what I would call a simple game. They play a no-frills game. They dump the puck in, and their job is to go and get it and take no prisoners. They're nasty. Mm-hmm. They get up in your face. They get up in the goalie's face. They'll knock your goalie around. You know, and some of their players, namely Sam Bennett, they toe the line. Brad Marchand, that's been his game for God however long he's been in the league, 20 years at this point it feels like. Like they have that. It's an art. It's an art form. The way that they're able to get under opponent's skins and just the way that they're able to execute what feels like a simple game plan. Dump the puck in and hit and get it back, cause havoc, and score. Like, that's what they do incredibly well. And that's not to say that the Predators need to employ that system because that's not how Brunette wants to play. That's not how he coached the Panthers to play. They were a run-and-gun team under Andrew Brunette. It was scoring off the rush, and that worked for them. But the Panthers changed course, and look at them now. They are the model franchise in terms of what it takes to win in the NHL. So when I hear that it's been 8 years yesterday that the Predators qualified for the Stanley Cup final, not only does that feel like a lifetime ago, it feels like the Predators are light years away from being competitive in the NHL. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, you can't confidently say this Preds team will be better next year. Lots of lots of poppies, I guess pappies, like older, yeah, like grandpas. Lots of pappies, another year older next year. It's no a time for a rebuild. Find those mid-tier talents and waivers and draft that. Draft that have strength, size, and damn heart. Get three high-end offensive players. Get rid of our dinosaurs. Time for the ultimate rebuild. It's been time, to be honest, since the year after the Stanley Cup final appearance. So
I expect them to be better.
Right. Like, there are, like, I don't expect them not to be able to score, exactly, the way that they were unable to score this season. Am I saying they're going to be demonstrably better? No. But I don't think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. But, again, I watch this Panthers team. I'm watching the Stars, the Oilers, and even the Hurricanes. And I see four teams that, again, are playing in a different league than the Predators right now. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you have thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Tennessee versus Vanderbilt rematch, Derek's hypocrisy when it comes to parking, 615-737-1025. But coming up next, the college football playoff has come to its senses, and we will explain why. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Scranton Wilkes-Barre at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and first pitches at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
CFP Executive Director Rich Clark told me earlier today that the FBS commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Pete Bavakwa felt it was in the best interest of college football to make this adjustment because the five highest ranked conference champions will still be rewarded with spots in the college football playoff, but it also allows then to reward the teams that are ranked higher and had the best performances on the field in the eyes of the selection committee. So this allows for the typical progression with the lower ranked teams to have to work their way up through the bracket. And Rich Clark told me that the commissioners figured this out on their own, but they also certainly heard from fans, athletic directors, and coaches on the subject.
That was funny.
That was Heather Dinich of ESPN talking about the college football playoffs decision to move to a straight seeding model this fall. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. I like the change. It's reminiscent, Derek, yes, of what the Detroit Lions, and I guess Roger Goodell, who was pushing the Lions to do it, as I understand. It's reminiscent of what the Lions were trying to do with their playoff seeding proposal, which they ultimately pulled, about seeding teams in the NFL playoffs strictly by record, regardless of whether you win your division. And I know you didn't like that idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate it. And the college football playoff, again, is going to a straight seeding model. So this past season, the four highest-ranked conference champions earned the top four seeds regardless of where they were ranked. So the actual college football seeding, college football playoff seeding, I should say, from this past season, Arizona State and Boise State received byes into the quarterfinals for winning their respective conferences, although Arizona State was the 12th-ranked team in the college football playoff, and Boise State was the 9th-ranked team in the college football playoff, which meant Penn State had to play a first-round game, Ohio State had to play a first-round game, Texas had to play a first-round game. That's not going to happen. So if last year's college football playoff was held under the new seeding format, the top four seeds, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State, would have received byes. So there would have been two changes. Texas and Penn State would have received byes. Boise State and Arizona State would have had to play first round games. So that would have been the major difference if last year's college football playoff had been held under the new seeding format moving forward, or for at least this coming season. So I like it. I like straight 1 through 12. I used to like it when the NHL, for example, it was 1 through 8. Number 1 played number 8, number 2 played number 7, 3 played 6, 4 played 5. Regardless of division, regardless of how far you had to travel, I like it that way. What do you make of the college football playoffs decision to go to a straight seeding model?
One, it was funny when Heather Dinich said that they, you know, that the committee said, oh, we figured this out on our own. No, you didn't. There was a lot of uproar right at the beginning. And it was so loud that you couldn't help but, you know, change it. Because she did throw in there, yeah, but a push from the fans, you know, was big as well. So, but I don't see anything wrong with this. Obviously, we know why this happened. And it's because teams like Penn State and you know, some of these other teams that, you know, had better records. But because Boise State, you know, and Arizona State was playing. Was it Boise State and Arizona State that got a bye? Who got a bye?
Boise State and Arizona State received byes along with Oregon and Georgia, despite the fact that Arizona State, which was the fourth seed in the tournament, was the 12th ranked team in the college football playoff rankings.
Exactly.
And Boise State was the third seed, but the ninth seed in the one through however many rankings, one through 16.
This is something that they didn't want to happen moving forward. I don't think the fan base of these particular teams that were left out of that first round bye, even though they were ranked higher, that fan base and that, you know, AD and president, they weren't going for it moving forward. And, you know, I get it, because to me, it's something different about why I'm so, you know, entrenched with how the NFL is doing it, because they've been doing that for, it just seems like forever. And I know they've changed the rules in their playoff seeding too, but it seems like they've been doing it forever and there hasn't been anything wrong with that. But on the college side, because it's so new, it's like it's fluid. And if something doesn't work this year, then their fan base is going to be screaming. I think this is the best way where, you know, you can alleviate a lot of the arguments and a lot of the, you know, stuff that fan bases and what we talk about on air. No, they shouldn't have been, you know, they shouldn't have gotten a bye because they were, a lower seed, but yeah, they did win a conference, but they were not better, you know, than Georgia, this team. And if you had those two teams play, if they played their schedule, they have all of this stuff. Now it's totally wipes that away in regards to, like, getting that first round bye. Now it's going to go strictly by the rankings at the end of the year.
Now, the important thing as well is that Notre Dame, which is famously independent, is eligible to earn a first round bye if the Irish are ranked in the top four, which I don't believe could have happened.
It wouldn't have happened last year because they're not a part of a
conference.
Conference, yeah.
But all four teams, by the way, that earned a first round bye in the inaugural 12-team playoff lost their first game. So I'm looking at how this would have been different last year if it had been held under these rules. So in the first round last year, you had number 12 Clemson at number 5 Texas, number 9 Tennessee at number 8 Ohio State, number 11 SMU at number 6 Penn State, and number 10 Indiana at number 7 Notre Dame. That was last year's college football playoff first round. Under the new seeding format, you would have had number 12 Clemson at number 5 Notre Dame, number 9 Boise State at number 8 Indiana, number 11 Arizona State at number 6 Ohio State, and number 10 SMU at number 7 Tennessee. So, for example, Tennessee had to go on the road to Ohio State. Under the new format, Tennessee would have hosted SMU in the first round.
And then they would have got, I mean, I get it, you would have got a better, there would have been better matchups, Clemson and Notre Dame, because I think the win probability, you know, last year was, you know, probably a little bit different than what it is this year. I think you would have got a better game to me if it was under the new system where Clemson and Notre Dame plays. I think you get a better game. I think you get a more competitive game with Boise State and Indiana because Indiana got blew out by – who did they get blew out?
Indiana lost to Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. And the score said it was close, but Notre Dame dominated.
It was not close.
Notre Dame dominated that game. So I think you would have got a more evenly matched up game had it been Boise State and Indiana. I'm not sure about the Arizona-Ohio State game. I think Ohio State still would have ran away with it. But that SMU and Tennessee game would have been interesting. It would have been very interesting. I don't think Tennessee would have got mollywopped the way they did against Ohio State last season.
And keep in mind that Tennessee would have been playing at home.
Exactly.
Versus having to go on the road.
I think that would have been more of a competitive game had that been in Knoxville. So maybe the playoffs would have turned out a lot different. Maybe, you know, UT would advance to the second round or whatnot. But that was last year. This is this year. I think they got it right now. You know, they're going to start adding more teams. We know. So don't fuss and fight right now. They're going to add another team or two. So your team, if you get left out this year, don't worry about it. Next following year, more than likely, your team will be able to get in.
One of ESPN's reporters, Bill Connolly, looked at the change in title odds on the old system versus the new system. Mm-hmm. He said Ohio State would have had a 4.1% difference in their title odds, positive 4.1% under the new system than the old system. Tennessee would have had the second biggest difference in odds, from 5.1% in the old system to 7.4% in the new system. So I like the idea. Again, I think that you should be rewarded for winning in the regular season. And again, like I said earlier this week, I didn't mind the Detroit Lions idea when it came to the NFL playoffs. We picked at the scab of the Beast Quake game between the Seahawks and the Saints from 15-ish years ago, when the Saints, despite winning four more games than the Seahawks, had to go to Seattle, and that was one of the one of those big moments. And I think we had a caller mention that. Like, you lose these big moments if you don't have the NFL playoff seeding the way it is. I want to win. Mm-hmm. So if my team wins four more games than your team, I shouldn't have to go to your stadium. That's how I feel about it. I know you vehemently disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I do. Because I just think there's something, you know, special about winning your division or your conference. Your division. I think there's something special about that because these divisions are so competitive. And it's cyclical. I know some divisions are better than others in any given year. But it gives you an opportunity to – it's just something special about that. Now, I'm looking at the college – you know, I wonder what does this do for, like, scheduling during the season moving forward? Because now – Now it's no longer, you know, if you win your conference, you get an automatic bid. Now, are you scheduling lighter competition? Is the SEC going to add that extra game now or not? Because that does affect how you're ultimately seeded. You know, the SEC championship game, the Big Ten championship game, the ACC championship, Big 12. All of that is going to be critical now, really critical, in how you finish and where you're ranked. Because you can perceivably not win your conference, but still be ranked third and end up getting. So I think it's going to change possibly how teams schedule or don't schedule.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the college football playoff, in my opinion, coming to its senses and seeding teams appropriately next season. A straight seeding model. 615-737-1025. But there is one potential fallout from this that I'm curious about. Something that Derek Willey and I talked a lot about during college football season. And I want to get Derek's thought on that as well. 615-737-1025. Tune in for the Indy 500 race on 1025 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. and is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29 Degree Beer. This week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon with a buy one, get one free admission. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, where parking tubes and sunscreen are always free. Get this great deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. While supplies last, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking college football playoff and its new seeding format. And Derek, one thing that I think is a perhaps a consequence mm-hmm. of these changes is something that we talked a lot about during college football season. I'm wondering if this seeding format will make college conference title games even more meaningless. Because remember, in the version of the college football playoff last season, mm-hmm. if the seeding rules from next season were implemented, the top four seeds would have been Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State. Well, those were the winners and losers of the SEC and the Big Ten title games. So losing in the championship game didn't have an impact. Mm-mm. So I'm wondering now if those game if the seeding that's going to be put into place next season means that there are almost literally no stakes in conference title games, particularly of the major conference.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I ended with saying before we went to break. You're right. How much emphasis will there be on the championship game in each individual conference? Because based upon, you know, this year, this new seeding, if we were under the old rules, it wouldn't have meant anything, you know, because we were under the old rules, it meant a lot. If you didn't win your conference, you didn't get that first round bye.
Right. So Texas, which lost to Georgia, had to play in the first round. The Longhorns hosted Clemson. Mm-hmm.
Penn State. So now I can rest my players if I want to.
Penn State, which lost to Oregon, hosted SMU. So, again, under the new format, if last year's college football playoff had this upcoming college football playoff's seeding rules, both the winners and losers of those major conference title games would have received a bye anyway.
Yeah, so what incentive would it be to even want to play that game? Now, listen, I think the committee can, you know, sort of do some things in how they choose to do the final rankings that will put, you know, that will make those and force those teams to play those games and play them to win. Because they can say, well, they didn't play their players. Then we can drop them and the other team, you know, other teams around did play their players. Or the teams that were not in a championship game, the last game we saw of them, they were really good. So you don't want to play your players? All right, we're just going to drop you below those guys, you know, especially if you lose. But I think the argument would be, well, we didn't play our players. You know we're better than that. Well, put them out there on the field. I think that's how you stop that and stop it very quickly, that if you don't play your players, you are subjecting yourself to dropping out of that top four. If you lose, you are subject to being dropped out of the top four. So I think that will give an incentive for those teams to then play their guys and want to win the game.
As ESPN notes, in the ACC championship, SMU lost to Clemson, but barely fell in the CFP rankings, and more specifically, still got in mm-hmm. because the playoff committee didn't want to punish the Mustangs for playing a 13th game while others around them in the rankings were already done at 12. And we talked a lot about that at the time when Clemson defeated SMU in the ACC title game. ESPN continues that commissioners of the power conferences have pretty clearly had that in their minds as they've discussed a convoluted new playoff structure that hands multiple automatic bids to each of the top four conferences, up to four each for the SEC and Big Ten, and likely two each for the ACC and Big 12. With this structure in place, they can drift from title games and toward multiple play-in games within each conference. I think this was Bill Connolly who wrote this. I absolutely hate this idea. Mm-hmm. If you want to wreck the integrity of the regular season, nothing would do that faster than a 7-5 or 8-4 Big Ten team potentially stealing a bid from a 10-2 or 11-1 comrade that was vastly superior in the regular season. But you can at least understand why the commissioners themselves, facing a world with diminished conference title games and always looking for more TV spectacles, would try to get creative in this regard.
Yeah, so listen, this is... I think it's a good idea that they have changed the format. Now, you know, only time will tell whether, you know, there needs to be, you know, a lot of tweaks, or if, you know, the initial changing can hold up. You know, they're always looking to make it better, but are you making it better because you have to, or are you making it better because you want to? I think them changing it from last, I think they had to do it. It was a must that they do it. Now anything moving forward, it almost needs to be, if we want to do it, we cannot. We have to do it. So hopefully the way they've changed the new format, it doesn't take away from the championship games. That's one thing. Or the last two or three games of the season. You don't, well, really two games of the season. You don't want that, the way the new format is, to affect what happens in those last two or three weeks. And that's including championship weekend.
Josh in Nevada says, so how will it work for schools that are not in the major conferences if they don't make the top 12? They have no chance of getting into the playoffs even if they win their conference. As The Athletic explains, the five highest-ranked conference champions are still guaranteed a spot in the playoff, even if they are ranked outside the committee's final top 12. If a conference champ is ranked outside the top 12, it will be bumped up into the bottom seeds. That was the case last year when ACC champion Clemson was ranked 16th but seeded 12th.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they'll find a way to steal – you know, try to get those teams in, because you don't want it an all Big Ten, all SEC playoff. So, you know, they're going to – those other teams will get in. Now, the problem is, you know, the second-place ACC team or the third-place ACC team or the second-place Big 12 team or the third-place – that's where now – it's going to start getting tricky. But if you win your conference, you're still going to get in no matter what.
Unless Notre Dame is a top four seed. Because now Notre Dame, if it is a top four ranked team in the college football playoff rankings, it can get a bye now.
It can get a bye.
So really the only thing that can throw a wrench into that is if Notre Dame is that good that they occupy one of those top four spots. So one of the conference finalists in the SEC or Big Ten, for example, gets bumped out because Notre Dame guarantees
itself a top four.
I'm telling you,
if one of those SEC teams get bumped out too many times, oh, they're changing this. Notre Dame, you're going to
have to
This may
just be for this year.
Yeah, Notre Dame, you have to find a conference, man. You're going to have to get in one of these conferences, because if too many SEC – and I know if too many Big Ten – I get it. I'm a Big Ten guy. But we're talking about facts and honesty. If too many of those SEC teams get left out because of Notre Dame, you better find you a conference. You better find you one. Point blank.
So that's really the only thing that can throw a wrench into the winners and losers of the major conference title games getting byes into the next round. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, here's the issue. The SEC and ACC teams are better. Forget these schools' feelings. Be better or watch from home.
Say that again.
He says, here's the issue. The SEC and ACC teams are better. Forget these schools' feelings. Be better or watch from home.
I mean, in theory, yes. I mean, you're right. But, again, I'm not going to take an 8-4 or 7-5 SEC team over, you know, a first place. Definitely not a first place Big Ten team. Or I wouldn't take them over a first or second place Big 12 team. I just wouldn't, because I know the Big 12 conference, and it may not be what it used to be, but I think it's still a tough conference, especially now that NIL is involved. They'll start getting their players as long as they can pay. They'll start getting their players eventually.
Now I'm rooting.
You're rooting for chaos?
You may have heard once or twice that I love maximum chaos. I am now rooting for the situation where Notre Dame is a top four seed and an SEC team gets left out of the top four because of it. I want to see what happens, because you're right, Derek. This may be a one-off change. It may be just for this upcoming season, I think. But I would love to see what happens if indeed that maximum chaos theory pans out. 615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the college football playoff and more. But coming up next, The NFL, we've talked about the tush push and how the tush push has survived. We talked about the playoff seeding and how the Lions decided to pull their proposal to change the playoff seeding. But there was one other decision that was made this week that relates to the NFL. And I would love to get a former NFL player's thoughts on it, because I've been thinking about this for the past couple of days. And we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.